We're reading from Canto 2, Chapter 7, and we're almost finished with the chapter. The title of the chapter is Scheduled Incarnations. The speaker is Lord Brahma. He's speaking to Narada Muni. And he's just completed describing the Leela Avatar forms of the Lord. And then just yesterday it was the Purusha Avatar and Guna Avatar forms of the Lord. Just to get everybody a little focused here, I'm going to ask a question. What were some of the main points that we brought out yesterday morning? Surprise quiz. Maharaj didn't say anything. It was a surprise quiz. Yes.
One of the purposes of creation is to give a chance for people who want to be in illusion. And second purpose of creation is allowing us to get back to spiritual world.
Okay. And the means to get back to the spiritual world is?
Pure devotion service.
Okay. What were some of the other points that we discussed? Somebody's ready to volunteer again, but I want to see some other hands. Yes, go ahead. What's that?
Irreligion name of religion.
In Kali Yuga we find irreligion in the name of religion. Okay. The unlimited cannot be understood by the limited. Unlimited the release. Okay. If anybody else has one of those little toys, please do the needful. Yeah. Okay. The Supreme Lord is one of the names or ways to address him is Asamurva. There's no equal and there's no greater. Very good. Yeah. Talking about the what? I'm going to repeat because we have people here that didn't hear what you said. The degree of one's realization is proportionate to one's surrender. Well, I guess, you know, we can take a look at what realization we have and then we can gauge what is our surrender, right? Topic. Yes? You're stating. That was one of our topics. Did anybody understand what he said? I understood what he said. There's two parts of creation. What Lord Vishnu does, that's the Purusha avatar, Lord Vishnu, he does Sarga, or the preliminary creation, and Brahma does the Visarga, or the sub-creation, and both of them are agents of the original personality of Godhead Krishna. That's what you said, right? Something like that. Okay. Does that's very much focused now. That's good. Yes.
Misuse of free will will bring bad things.
Misuse of free will bring bad things. What kind of bad things?
That are not pleasing to the heart.
Not pleasing to the heart.
I mean, our consciousness goes down.
Consciousness goes down. Okay. Okay. I guess we shouldn't misuse our free will then, because we'll have to suffer. So then why do we misuse our free will?
Because we want to enjoy independence.
And that's not a good reason. And that's the whole idea. There's no good reason. No good reason. It's foolishness. It's ignorance. And so that brings us to the... I'd like to summarize the last part of what we read yesterday morning, because it then concludes this little summary and it leads into the next. Translation for texts 41 and 42. No, text 42. Brahma says, anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. So misuse of free will results in bad things. And the sum and substance of those bad things is ignorance. So, what to do? Here we are. Experiencing the fruit, the bitter fruit of this misuse of free will problem that was done so long ago we can't even remember. But we continue in an ongoing way to misuse our free will. Like, you know, when we first did it, we can't remember, but we're moment to moment have free will options. And we're still making some dumb choices. So, why is that? Once you're caught in the system, Arjuna asks Krishna that question. Why is it that one is impelled into action? As if against one's own will. Like, you know, there's another will that's forcing me to do what I don't want to do. And it's the force of the material energy, the conditioning, the covering of ignorance. So, Jiva Goswami, one of my heroes in Krishna consciousness, because he just really cuts right to the essence. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, if we can understand the answer to the following question, how did we come into our material circumstance to begin with, we then have the key to getting out of our material existence. Yes? Like we all came through that door. Okay, that's how we can get out. That's the door. So, how did we get into this material existence? We chose to act independently of Krishna. So what's the solution? Choose to act dependent upon Krishna. Hey, that's a really simple solution. But we don't do it. Because we're covered by ignorance. You know, we're in this material situation, after the misuse of free will, we're covered. So, that covering says, don't surrender to Krishna. And we're scratching our heads saying, why shouldn't I surrender to Krishna? Because on the other side of that door, of the not surrender to Krishna door, it's freedom. No, don't surrender to Krishna. And we continue not surrendering to Krishna. We buy into the program. We're very conditioned. So, it's ignorance that keeps us in that conditioning. It's ignorance that keeps us in that don't surrender to Krishna position. So how do you get rid of that ignorance? You just decide, I'm going to surrender to Krishna. By the assistance of those who are agents of Krishna, who are helping us to make that right decision and stick by it. So Brahma is saying, that's a favor of the personality of Godhead. Yesham sa esha bhagavan dayayad anantaha. When one is a recipient of the mercy, special favor of the Supreme Lord, then that unalloyed surrender unto the Supreme Lord will take place, can take place, and then ignorance is removed. And then when ignorance is removed, one can understand the Lord. So the topic is the incarnations of the Lord, and he's explaining to to Narada the immediate previous verses. No one can understand him except to a limited degree, and that's because we're limited, and also our surrender is limited. The one who can receive mercy of the Lord can then unalloyed surrender to the Lord. And then one can understand the Lord. And who are those that don't? Well, what's a symptom of this ignorance that covers? Attachment to the body. That's the verse. Attachment to the body. Hey, that's ABC. Like last night. So, Prahlad was praying in that prayer that we recited for Lord Nrisimhadeva with his tejas, his power, with his vajra dangsta, with his sharp teeth and sharp claws, to rip out from our hearts this karmashaya, the propensity for fruitive enjoyment. Please note that the tendency for fruitive enjoyment is a byproduct of the bodily conception. There's I and mine. Bodily conception leads to fruitive conception. And we take this baggage called fruitive conception into the realm of spiritual activity. And into the realm of spiritual activity, we want to go to Krishna for the fulfillment of our baggage. So that's better than not going at all. But generally, when one goes down that route of going to God for fulfillment of our material baggage, as our desires get fulfilled, what happens? The interest in God starts to wane. It's thank you very much, see you later. It's been very nice knowing you. You've been very kind to help me take care of my desires. And now that my desires are fulfilled, I don't have that same impetus as when I had so many desires to be fulfilled. See you later. Like Prabhupada describes that about America, that America was founded on religious freedom. And with the the big part of that religious freedom was they wanted to prosper, and once they began prospering, so many churches, and then prosperity came, and then the churches became empty. And then, you know, In God We Trust disappears. It's still on the notes, but, you know, is that really how people think, In God We Trust? And it's taken out of the courtroom, it's taken out of the classroom, it's taken, you know, gone. God, go in the closet. Or just disappear. And, you know, we notice it sometimes, we don't notice it fundamentally enough. So, let's do it one more time, slowly. The covering of ignorance passes for knowledge. We discussed this also. The culture of Vidya and the culture of Avidya from the Upanishad. So, but the essence of avidya is the absence of understanding what this whole chapter 6, chapter 7 is speaking about. That is, what is the source of everything? Nara is inquiring, what is the source of everything? The scientists are also inquiring, what is the source of everything? And what's their conclusion? The source of everything is nothing. Brilliant, huh? Singularity. And what is a singularity? It's a dimensionless point of unlimited mass, and you can't even find it. Brilliant. And, my dear scientist, have you ever seen a singularity? And where did the singularity come from? Brilliant. So, now, fast forward, and we have a civilization based on such brilliance. And, as Prabhupada writes, this is the purport of yesterday's verse. The materialists have many branches of philanthropic and altruistic activities from a political, national, and international angle of vision. Based on the conception of the material body, not only his own, but those of his children, kinsmen, countrymen, community men. There's so many such phantasmagories, just, you know, driving around here in Washington, Maryland, Virginia area. Phantasmagoria. Oh, so much energy and effort and awesome spectacle of stuff people have put up. But it's based on a misconception of the body and from the body fruitive activities. So Prabhupada writes, unless, therefore, one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. This is a core Bhagavatam, you know, trump card. It's very foundational. So, and very important, and it's so important that Brahma is saying it like 10 times in different ways. And certainly Prabhupada is taking advantage of his saying it 10 times to say it another 20 times. Very important for us to understand. Advancement of civilization that has as its foundation godlessness, however dazzling that so-called advancement of civilization is not advancement. It's a trick. It's a show of Maya to get us to go, oh, wow. And there must be something very wonderful. When the real self-realization is just totally lost. And however innocent the statement may be, coming from Prahlad or coming from whoever is expressing it, it doesn't register with the materialist. And their response is, how can you speak like that? Look at all this dazzling, wonderful spectacle. See how much knowledge we have as scientists, engineers, architects, designers. Oh, we have so much knowledge, and you're saying it's a failure? My dear sir, yes. Because absent is this fundamental understanding of what really is. Prabhupada gives the example of a father taking his children to the beach, and they're little children, and so the little children go and they make a sandcastle on the beach. And then the tide comes in and the sandcastle is washed away. And the father understands the childish proclivities of his children, and he doesn't mind. Although knowing it's in practical terms, it's a waste of time. But they're children, and so this is nothing but child play. But there's the little less innocent than that, because that in the name of knowledge, what is really ignorance, it harms the soul. Atmaha, in the language of Ishopanishad, is the civilization of the killers of souls, because it deprives the soul in this human form of life of his capacity for God realization. So there should be this branch of knowledge that says very loudly, one should surrender to the personality of Godhead completely. Then, when that happens, the cloud of ignorance is removed. And when the cloud of ignorance is removed, then we can see the Supreme Lord. And then you build a civilization that's God-centered. And that's what each one assembled here can do. That's your, you know, life project. You become God and realize and establish a civilization of God consciousness. It's a challenge in the environment that we're within, but that's our mission. You know, and at least within our families and the immediate, you know, sangha that we have, we should very carefully try to establish that, not just in name, but in fact. This is the application point of the verse. He's speaking about incarnations and speaking about the coverings of ignorance and Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars. That's all, you know, interesting information. It's not meant to remain on the information level. It's meant to be applied. And the application point is that we really get down to the business of understanding what our identity is as spirit souls, and what it is that we should be attached to and not attached to. We shouldn't be attached to fruitive activity. We should be attached to who we really are and our relationship with the Supreme, and then live our lives accordingly. And when this is another point from yesterday's class, and day before yesterday's class is Prabhupada's use of the word scientific. This is real scientific. Taking theory and applying it is what science does. So spiritual science is, okay, we're a spirit soul, now how do we live it? Day to day. That's a challenge, but that's, you know, science offers its challenges. And one can live one's life that way. Brahma's wanting Narada to live his life that way. That's the father to the son. And Brahma's living his life that way, and Narada lives his life that way. Narada wants those he comes in contact to do so, and that's the way of the cyclic succession. It starts with the conception that we have of ourselves, and it goes to the conception of what comes from ourselves, what is mine. And then we can act in such a way that a spiritual society becomes established through our actions and our collective activities with other devotees. Cloud of ignorance can be lifted when we surrender to the personality of Godhead. And then there's the whole spiritual world opens, and one can then explore the whole spiritual world like, you know, with the innocence of a small child, rather than the ignorance of a fool, sophisticated, polished animal. So, and that leads into this morning's verse. O Narada, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through Yogamaya potencies. But what's he saying? It sounds like contradiction. He's saying that, okay, we've established the Lord is unknowable. And now we're going to say, here's how he's knowable. And here's what we know about him. The meaning is, he's unknowable by speculative means. That's the unknowable. And he's knowable by devotional means. And because of devotional means, we can understand the internal potencies through which he works. And that's how Prabhupada presents the purport. In the purport, he speaks about what the material scientists don't know. And it could be a long list, but he just chooses to speak about the millions and billions of planets in this universe that the scientists don't know about. And the scientists acknowledge that they don't know about it. Not so long ago in the New York Times, in the science section, they had this revealing article that the law of physics, which says that planets stay in their place within the universe due to gravitational field, which is generated out of mass. It's a nice theory, but something like 85% of the mass of the universe is missing. Now, you know, an elementary school child might ask the question, well, gee, if they have a theory like that, 85% is missing, maybe the theory is wrong? Maybe? No, it's just we have to figure out where the other 85% is. It's not that the theory is wrong. Childish. Okay, so we can't find all the mass because they disappeared in black holes. Okay, so the mass is there, we just can't find it. And then you have mathematical equations that says what a black hole is, and then mass disappears in black holes, and you can't find it. Put a little ribbon and bow on the package. Something's wrong. So then Prabhupada takes this statement that if they can't understand with all of their powerful microscopes and telescopes, they can't find out fundamental things within this material realm, then how are they to understand things beyond the material realm? How can they expect? How is it even possible to find things beyond the material realm? It's not possible. Not possible. And yet they boldly speculate on what's beyond their capacity to even have a clue about. So, O Narada, although the potencies of the Lord are unknowable and immeasurable, unknowable by such means, and immeasurable by such means, still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through Yogamaya potency, and that is by contact with the Yogamaya potency through the process of surrender. That's another way of knowing. And the scientist will say, no, that's not a way of knowing. Or, well, honestly, we don't really know if that's a way of knowing. Well, we don't know about it because we don't surrender. Well, the devotee says, well, we know about it because we surrender. Well, how can you know about it? You certainly can't teach it in schools. There's no way of knowing. No way, you can't. Because we have the power, and we don't want to let go any of that power to God. And so it goes. Mental speculations, by adding some dozens of ifs and maybes, cannot aid the advancement of knowledge. On the contrary, such mental speculations will only end in despair by dismissing the case abruptly and declaring non-existence of God. That's the neti-neti process. As far as the process of speculation goes, is God this? No. Is God that? No. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. What's left? Something that we can't measure. Okay, God doesn't exist. We proved it. God doesn't exist. Any challengers? God doesn't exist. So the process is wrong. The approach to understanding even material things, what to speak of beyond material things. The approach is wrong. The process is wrong. So Brahma's advising Narada, don't take that wrong approach. Take the approach of what he described in the yesterday's verse. Complete surrender to the personality of God, and then to the agency of the internal potency, one can understand something of the Lord, and one can understand something of the internal potency and how that Lord acts through the internal potency. The same person, therefore, ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain, and, as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of knowledge. Then he goes to scriptural reference. And in the scriptural reference, the indication is, in the Upanishads it says the same thing. So Brahma's not just like pulling things out of the air. There's some scriptural authority behind it. here's the Upanishad scriptural authority clearly says the Supreme Personality Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain. Nor can he be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. Confirm scriptural support for the statements of Brahma. And here's the refrain, like this message, that the 10 times times 20 times message. The Lord is knowable only by one who is a surrendered soul. Babaji confirms it. And now we're at the therefore, the last part. I'm listening to a lecture the other day, and Prabhupada explained the use of the word therefore. It's a summation. When there is a dispute and one is making an argument, he makes his argument, and then there's the summary. Therefore, these are the points that have been established. So here's the therefore. The fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One should gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yogamaya helps the surrendered soul, who is limited, to know him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. There's the message. So, Prabhupada wants us, Lord Brahma wants us, Vyasadeva wants us, Shukadeva Goswami, all these well-wishing persons want us to take a look at what understanding we have of ourselves, the process that we have of understanding ourselves, and the civilization, the way of life that comes out of that conception of who we think of as ourselves. Because we don't think so much about the process, we just kind of go along for the ride. We have a misconception of ourselves, and we build a gigantic civilization that's based on ignorance. And we're just kind of going along with the show, at least most people of the world. So the audience that Prabhupada is speaking to is the whole Western world. He's speaking into his microphone, the dictaphone, but he's giving a spiritual message for the whole planet, particularly the English-speaking parts of the world, because that's the audience that Bhaktisiddhanta gave to him. And he wants such an audience to carefully consider. What process of knowledge are you using? The speculative process? It's not going to bring you to the right conclusion. It will bring you to an enormous amount of suffering and a life of delusion. And the understanding of the scriptures will be far, far away from you. So please don't make that mistake. Rishabhdev expresses the same thing when he's speaking to his sons right off the bat. It's my dear sons, don't waste your time like the hogs and dogs in pursuit of sense gratification. Don't do that. Tapo devya putra kayena sattvam. You should take up this tapa, just like Brahma, to understand what he understood. He took up tapa. So, tapa, that there's some acceptance of inconvenience in order to achieve a greater result. And what's that greater result that we want? We want a relationship with Krishna. We want reality, not illusion. So if there's some austerity, good. It's good. There's austerity, it's a greater austerity being an illusion. big time austerity, ugra karma, big time austerity. And the products of that ugra karma are also ugra, very unpleasant. So far, austerity is rise early in the morning, take our bath, perform arati, chant the holy name, worship the Lord, hear the message, Bhagavatam. That's nice, because it leads to clearing of illusion. It's a different approach or process. And then how to carry that spiritual conception into the career and the workplace. That's another challenge. But at least start with, and then into the rest of the world. That's also a challenge. But start with the awakening of God consciousness by the standard processes given, as Prabhupada in this therefore summary, he specifically points to. By acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein, the persons mentioned herein in the verse, it's a whole long list of devotees. I'll read the long list. Similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known to be all-powerful. Lord Shiva, the great king of the atheist family, namely Prahlad Maharaj, Swayambhuva Manu, his wife Shatarupa, his sons and daughters like Priyavratu, Uttanapada, Akuti, Devahuti, and Prasuti, Prachini Bari, Ridpu, Anga, the father of Vena, Maharaj Dhruva, Ikshvaku, Aila, Muchakunda, King Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha, Mandhata, Alarka, and so on, just a long list, etc. He says at the end, Varyaha, these are the foremost. So we should seek out the shelter and the association of elevated souls, because through that association of elevated souls, we can get relief of this pushing, this ignorance that's pushing us into further ignorance, compounding the ignorance that we're already in, and, you know, not being able to understand spiritual knowledge. Okay, so there's our summary. Comments or questions? Yeah.
Comment, Guru. Yesterday after your class in the temple, one person came and he came first time to the ISKCON temple.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him and he was saying, I do a lot of meditation. And then he said, it's very nice Bhagavad Gita that it coincides with the Big Bang Theory, he said. And then he said, how true it is, like that. He was going on talking about the Big Bang Theory. Then I said, very interesting, but Bhagavad Gita talks about, like I was explaining, from Krishna comes the Mahavishnu, the universes, how they are created. So that is Bhagavad Gita said. Oh, is it so? And then I asked him, do you have Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada? He said, yeah, I have Bhagavad Gita as it is. And then I asked him, where did you find out that this from Omkara, the Big Bang Theory comes, and we accept, Vedas also accept that. Then he said, on the internet.
The impersonalists are hyperactive folks on the internet. The dissemination of disinformation is rampant. without going into the details of it, is, you know. And so that's how people are getting educated in personalism. So it's not like illusion is just lying still while we're developing our Krishna consciousness. Illusion is moving swiftly.
Yes. I have two follow-ups I want to elaborate to Maharaj. One is, we're talking about one's realization gives a surrender to Krishna. Is it like, if you want to really know surrender to Krishna, maybe Krishna is wanting to elaborate on that.
That's on the summary points from yesterday's class. Yes, so you want the elaboration on that?
Then, okay, the second question.
It's right in today's verse also. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of Yoga Maya, He helps the surrendered soul to know Him proportionately with the advance, didn't say advancement, advance of one's surrender. So it's couple things. It's not an on-off switch. It's a variable switch. Yeah. So the medium for understanding Krishna is devotional service. One can say surrender is a measure of one's devotion, genuine devotion, so proportionate to one's devotion. Or surrender, one can realize Krishna. Like, you know, you have a variable switch, and you, a dimmer switch, you turn it up, and you turn it down. So, proportionate to how you turn it, it's brighter, brighter, brighter. Maximum bright. Dimmer, 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 dimmer. Maximum dim, off. And so that movement is the surrender. And surrender can change moment to moment. So proportionate to what is, and that the darkness is absence of light by definition. So the light of Krishna is experienced proportionate to our surrender, and if our surrender and submission slackens, light goes down, darkness increases. It's just a covering of darkness. It's an interesting philosophical thing with impersonalists. You know, where does ignorance come from? This ignorance that covers Brahman. Okay, we don't have to go down that path. So, understanding that principle, that the devotee, one who's heard this message carefully, will understand, okay, this is my job assignment. Surrender to Krishna. And there's things that help one surrender to Krishna. So let me take this help and that help and all the help I can get. I need it so that I can go down the path of surrender to Krishna. And our acharyas have orchestrated things that help us, help nurture that, the mood of surrender. And therefore, we should take the association of such personalities. Because it'll help us. They've got their expert. And very compassionate. And they want us to come to that position.
Second one, what I have is, we talked about improvement of scientific knowledge and civilization, and we were saying that it's going to harm the soul, and I don't think it's going to be allowed. We get attracted, definitely, because we see anti-register.
And the harm is, it takes away the inspiration, the impetus for achieving the real goal, the real need of the soul. The real need of the soul is to become free. and attraction to that, to the dazzling glare of the material energy, it steals away that innate need of the soul. And therefore, the killer of the soul. So souls can't be killed, but in effect, dead. For, you know, for practical purposes, like chloroform. Consciousness just becomes so covered. Consciousness doesn't go out of existence, but just so covered. Thinking, that's all in all. What else is there? And somebody comes along and says, hey, there's good news, there's something else. Maybe there's something else. What else is there? Don't waste my time. I'm busy building my sandcastle.
Could you elaborate a bit? Could you give us some practical tips on how to get into the world of goodness, to continue the world of goodness in our life?
Where's the question coming from? How is that related to this? It's not.
Just because of the students, I don't know this one.
Well, the Bhagavatam is not advocating goodness. Bhagavatam is advocating surrender to Krishna. So that's like the one stroke that finishes everything. So I'll answer your question by sticking with that. One lecture in the book, Prabhupada was explaining there are two methods. He said the goldsmith method and the blacksmith method. And in the goldsmith method, there's a little hammer, and the goldsmith is tap, 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 tap. Tap, 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 tap. He made that sound like that. Tap, 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 tap. And the blacksmith method is, one puts the iron in the fire, makes it red hot, puts it on the anvil, big hammer, one stroke, everything is finished. And the Bhagavatam is that method. One stroke, everything finished. A little distracting what you're doing here. One stroke, anything. So, there are things that help that one thing, and so we concern ourselves with those things that help that one thing. But that's some religious principle, Upadharma, cultivation of goodness. So we cultivate goodness because it's a good chamber, incubation chamber in which to grow this spirit of wanting to surrender to Krishna. But the wanting to surrender to Krishna inspiration comes in these principal ways by hearing. And then because of submission, applying that we've been heard. And then you get a spiritual charge, and a spiritual charge carries you into the next phase of surrender. And that's the ignorance removal program that we're hearing. association. And hearing and chanting in that association, and then applying that which we've heard and chanted and discussed. Something else?
There are 14 planets in this universe. You mentioned that there are billions and billions of
them. Because there's planetary systems, and within those systems there's subsets, right?
So these millions and all these planets.
Just like Swargaloka is one of those 14. How many heavenly planets are there? You know, there's a long list. So that's just... And Bhuloka. Is that where, you know, we're in the Bhuloka region, but we're not the only planet in that region. It's not, it has nothing to do with, you know, modern scientists looking for life on other planets. Because we already know there's life everywhere. On planets and in between planets and everywhere. Sarvagata. And Harloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka. Those are regions, and then there's diverse planets within those regions. Okay. Thank you very much.